remain standing, let's just respond with me to this call to worship. It's based on Psalm 98. O sing to God a new song.
God has done marvelous things.
O sing to God a new song.
For true justice is revealed.
O sing to God a new song.
For his steadfast love and faithfulness.
Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. We shout for joy, for Christ is born to save the world. Just come before him in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, what causes us to stop singing? What causes us to stop being amazed? Why must we be reminded to sing, marvel and remember your love and faithfulness? Why must we be reminded over and over? Forgive us, God, for the times we easily forget Christ born amongst us. Help us to remember Christ's peace, his love, his compassion, and his justice, born and growing to the ends of the earth, for all to see, for all to sing about, for all to respond to in love. And Lord, help us to be that love, that grace, that peace and compassion to the people of this world. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6 and 7. War is over. Those who walked in the dark have seen a bright light, and it shines upon everyone who lives in the land of darkest shadows. A child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord, all-powerful, will make certain that all of this is done.
Hark the herald angels sing. Would you like to stand with us?
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
you can stay seated through the next couple of carols as well.
The second reading this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. Encourage God's people. Our God has said, encourage my people, give them comfort. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and announce, your slavery is past, your punishment is over. I, the Lord, made you pay double for your sins. Someone is shouting, clear a path in the desert, make a straight road for the Lord our God. Fill the valleys, flatten every hill and mountain, level the rugged and rough ground. Then the glory of the Lord will appear for all to see. The Lord has promised this.
Next reading is from Luke, chapter 1, 26 to 36, and chapter 2, 1 to 7. An angel tells about the birth of Jesus. 1 month later, God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what that meant. Then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you, and you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am not even married." The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come down to you and God's power will come over you, so your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a son. The birth of Jesus. About that time, Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all the people to be listed in record books. These first records were made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go to their own hometown to be listed. So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and travelled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby, and while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay because there was no room for them in the inn.
Such a beautiful story.
Next reading follows on from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. That night, in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Saviour was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God."
Thank you.
Our final reading is from John 1, verses 1 to 14. The word of life. In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God, and with this Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from him, and his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out. God sent a man named John, who came to tell about the light and to lead all people to have faith. John wasn't this light. He came only to tell about the light. The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, but no one knew him, though God had made the world with his Word. He came into his own world, but his own nation did not welcome him. Yet some people accepted him and put their faith in him. So he gave them the right to be the children of God. They were not God's children by nature or because of any human desires. God himself was the one who made them his children. The Word became a human being and lived here with us. We saw his true glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. From him the complete gifts of undeserved grace and truth have come down to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's stand together as children of God to sing this next one.
Run! About 200 years ago, there was a minor crisis in a small village in Germany. Their organ broke down at Christmas. Bit of a disaster, really, isn't it? Back then, that was the instrument of choice. They didn't have a band with a couple of electric guitars or anything like that. Or even one electric guitar. And so the organist went, crikey, what am I going to do? Or words to that effect, whatever the German equivalent is. So he wrote a song, which he then led the congregation in singing on his acoustic guitar. So I was pleased to see that Digby paid honour to the writer of Silent Night and played it on his acoustic guitar. Yeah, well, there you go, you learn something new every day, eh? Christmas is a major event in our society. People hang out for it. Their behaviour even improves often, although lately the behaviour in some car parks has perhaps suggested that that may not be the case. But a lot of people are full of goodwill at Christmas, you know, and they at least try for a moment to be different. Christmas actually forms the ideas and ideals of our society in very many ways. It's that big, major event. You know, and let alone all of the elf movies and all the other trivial stuff. And, you know, all of the consumerism that glitters around us. Yet there are some things about Christmas which point to deep values that have become embedded in our society that mark it as deeply made in the image of God. And I thought we might just look briefly at a few of those tonight to help us reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. The first thing is that God came. J.B. Phillips called the world, this world, the visited world. That God wasn't in a distance, as that awful pop song used to sing, you know, from a distance. Awful thing. Hated it. Nice tune, lousy words. No, but a lot of people have this image that God is a long, long way away. But Christmas yells out a completely different story. It's that God came. And that's very powerful because it speaks to an understanding of the world in which God is somehow present. And so all of our values are dependent on the fact that God is actually here and what we do matters. Because this is a place that God has chosen to come. So that tells us that how we act is important. It's a very deep thing, isn't it, really? That our world is different because we know God has come. And so our behaviour matters because this is a place where God chooses to be. So for us at Christmas, it tells us that how we live matters. What we do matters. Because if God chose to come to this world, then this world is a place where important things can happen. That's the first thing. The second thing is that God sent his Son to bring about the restoration of relationship. You know, the cross is about restoring our relationship to God. And Jesus' journey to the cross is important. You know, that's a little baby in a manger. It was God saying, I have a gift for you. It is the best gift. And so, We're called to be generous. Not mean-spirited, but generous. And generous with our love, because God was generous with his love. So we're called to be generous lovers, to be the ones who reach out to the poor and the lonely, to be the one who are known for our love. It's a very powerful image in this world of chaos. See the morning services. In this world where so many people are lost, there is this great word of the love of God which reaches out to you and I. And that forms our society in very many powerful ways. We are called to be generous in our love, to be those who reach out to those in need. I don't know how many of you will have a Christmas bowl tomorrow on your table or give to the Christmas bowl, but the Christmas bowl started because a Christian minister in the late 40s decided one day, one Christmas, not just one day, one Christmas, that they were going to be having this huge feast. There were all these poor people who had nothing. So they put a bowl on the table and encouraged all those who are coming to have lunch with them to give an equivalent amount to the cost of what they were eating. So, you know, if you had a Fritz sandwich, you wouldn't have to put very much in. But, you know, if you had ham and turkey and chicken and prawns, well, the cost might start to go up a bit, yeah? Let alone the wine. You know, there's this whole, and that was his heart was moved. He wanted to be generous because God was generous to him. And so in our world, there is always a sense of being generous for people in need. And that value, that core value, that underlies so much in our society comes out of Christmas. That God was generous with his love. And so he calls us to be people who are generous with ours. And we see it all the time, you know, where there are tragedies. I remember reading about Fukushima and the horrible tsunami in Japan some years ago, where even the criminals went to the local prefecture of police and said, how can we help? You know, you go, hang on. That's not quite how I'd expect it. But there is within us a deep generosity. And we are called to action that and to live that. So God is generous in his love. And we are called. Be generous in ours. I want you to think about the people who were there. You know, we read two of the stories, the shepherds. Now that sounds nice, pastoral, doesn't it? Lovely, the shepherds in their nice, clean, white coats. You know, don't think so. You know, I reckon there would have been a fair bit of extra lanolin, which is okay, but it's a bit of sheep droppings that would have, you know, attached to the bottom of their robe. You know, and of course they slept in the gate of the sheepfold, which is where all the sheep walked through and did their droppings. So, you know, really, they were pretty smelly guys. And also, they were not well regarded. You know, if you think in our time, used car salesmen have got a bad rep. Well, their rep is much better than shepherds were in Jesus' time. The suggestion was that if you weren't careful, if you sent your sheep back out with shepherds, you might get the right number back, but you may not get the same sheep back as they chose the better ones for themselves. They were very poorly regarded. And we hear the wise men from the east, oh, what a lovely thing. Well, the wise men were astrologers, and the Jewish priests absolutely hated them with a passion. And the other thing in Israel is that trouble nearly always came from the east. Dare I say it? When they went away in exile, they went to the east. And the number of armies that came to them out of the deserts in the east. You know, so the Magi were not these cute little well-loved figures. Everyone thought it was so wonderful when they came to visit them. No. Okay? So think about the people who were welcomed. All sorts of rat bags. Hate to say it, but you're rat bags. But you're welcome. God welcomes you as he welcomed the shepherds and the Magi. You have a place at the manger. And in our society, there is always this understanding that people from all sorts of places can come and do remarkable things. You know, and it can be a big surprise. And we love the stories, don't we? What's his name? Was it Robinson, the speed skater who accidentally won a gold medal? Bradbury, that's right. You know, but, you know, he quote, accidentally, end quote, won a gold medal. Actually, it wasn't, but, you know, that's the general story. But we love it because he was an unlikely winner. You know, and so we love the stories of people who come out of nowhere and achieve great things. It's embedded in our society. You know, we don't like class systems. Even though Australia's got a more firmly entrenched class system now than at any other time in its history. Do you see that Christmas has changed in many ways that our society views itself? The fact that this is a visited planet, so our behaviour matters. The fact that this is a God who brings love generously, and so we are called to love generously. That this is a God who welcomes all manner of people, so we are welcomed. But out of that, there are things that we need to do. We need to live out Christmas. We need to be a real presence with people who are lost. We need be generous in our love to others in a world where so many people are just disregarded. And we need to greet all people as those who would be welcome at the manger, because God does. These things are embedded in our society and we are called to live them. So go. Enjoy your Christmas and live its real meaning. As ones who know the presence of God, who love like God, and who include others like God. Amen.
It is amazing, isn't it? We have been visited. He chose to come here to us. And we are welcome in his presence, regardless. It's astounding. It's astounding. I ask you to join me again in prayer. Mysterious God, confound our expectations by meeting us where we least expect to find you. Stay with us now. Child of the manger, healing our pain, sharing our weakness.
Stay with us now.
Source of life, birth of God within our own experience.
Stay with us now.
Stay with us in our frailty. Stay with us on our ongoing journey, day by day.
Walk beside us, live within us, lead us to glory, lead us to home.
Amen. What a wonderful community to be part of. It's wonderful to have that knowledge that God is with us, always and constantly, whether we recognise him and acknowledge him or not. He's still there waiting for that acknowledgement. What a joy. What a joy. Let us adore this child born, this man who took our sins and died in our place. Let's stand and conclude the service.
You know, of course, that this isn't the time of year that Jesus was born. You see, we know that the Romans did their census at the end of the summer, while it was still easy to move around before you got into winter snows in the northern part of the Roman Empire. So Jesus would have been born in August or September. But do you know what? It doesn't matter. Because, do you know, the really important thing is that Jesus was born and that we celebrate it. So we choose this date for various reasons from the Middle Ages. We choose it because we want to celebrate that our Lord is born. Once, but is always being born in us. So go from this place, and may the love of the Christ child be born in your heart all over again.